Santa Claus done got a taste of Lambo. He wears a cheesehead hat and his suit is now green and gold.
Green and gold.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today for the 1 p.m. Fun Hour. As always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And we are still in it, baby. We thought we were out, had no chance, and then magically, call it a Christmas miracle, call it whatever you want, everything that needed to happen happened this weekend, including the Packers coming back for a kind of an ugly win, but a win regardless, against the Dolphins. And it was a pretty fun game. So here to talk about his takes on the game itself and also what still needs to happen for us to somehow pull off a playoff run is J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he is a trending sports reporter. Welcome back, J.R.
Hey, I'm happy to be back. When you said we're still in it, I thought you were talking about the Christmas season. You know, it's not over.
That's true.
We're still playing the music. Family members are still coming for the second wave of Christmas. It's not over yet. We cannot yet say goodbye to the Christmas season or the Packers playoff chances.
Exactly. Also, I feel like anyone who was sick over Christmas, they now are doing Christmas this week. Maybe there was a delayed Christmas for some people. But yeah, I think this whole week is still, you can still say Merry Christmas this week. Just like you can say Happy New Year all of January.
That's true. And you'll be writing, if people still do checks, they'll be writing checks for 2022 until like April. So,
yes.
These things take a while.
All right. Well, let's just start with kind of your big takeaways from yesterday's game. I felt like there was certainly some, I was not confident in the first half, I will be totally honest. And then did we win this game or did the Dolphins lose this game?
The way the defense played in the first half, I was with you right there. And the fact that they don't give up any points in the second half, I guess you say that, I mean, that takes something, no matter how bad Tua was or how bad the Dolphins are, you know, that's a performance you can hang your hat on. They're in Miami and they didn't allow any points in the second half and their offense came back to win. Tua throwing three interceptions just right to guys is just not something that's going to happen very often. It's certainly not going to happen against a top shelf quarterback. I don't really know what was going on there. You know, you got the concussion talk now. Like maybe that somehow played a role. I really don't know, but they were given, they were certainly given opportunities and they didn't take advantage of all of them. There were definitely still some, like you said, it was not a crisp performance, but you don't have to be crisp when you're winning on the road in the NFL, and certainly not against teams that have winning records, or at least, you know, 500 records like Miami did coming into the game. That's a tall order, and they pulled it off. So a little bit of yes to both. Was it given to them? It was, but they also had to take it. They have not always taken it this year. So that was a very important victory for them.
So what do you think? Do you really give this to the defense as far as what won the game?
A little bit. Yeah. I'm not a fan of how the defense has played. I don't think they've been good.
I mean, that was kind of what's been surprising, right?
So I give it to them for showing up. You got some pretty good performances. Jaron Reed made a really good play. There were guys who definitely stood up when they absolutely had to. The pass rush was finally pretty good. You know, without Rashawn Gary, they've had a really hard time getting to the quarterback and creating havoc. So it's nice that changed a little bit. I think, it was just a survive and advance sort of game. Like, I don't know if I give a game ball out to anybody. I mean, Aaron Rodgers made some terrible throws. He also had an incredible one to Mercedes Lewis that was pretty eye-popping and sets up a touchdown. So, like, everybody had their moments in this game, which is kind of what you need when you're just scratching and clawing to stay alive in the playoff race.
He is tall. Mercedes Lewis. I feel like he's right.
Yes.
Like it was like, who just caught that ball? And you're like, oh, Mercedes Lewis. I was like, God, he's like a foot taller than everyone out there.
He's a large man. I love him because he's super old and he's super slow, which I have a huge affinity for old, slow people because I am of them. And he's of course still 2 years younger than I am, but yes, the seasoned veteran. You see him usually like just catching a touchdown when it's like on the two and somebody screws up something and he gets wide open in the end zone. But that was a great play. That was a really important catch. So big dog makes the play that one of the biggest plays of the game.
Totally.
Define old for me, JR. How old is he?
You know, Jane, it's a spiritual thing for me. I realize what my birth certificate says, but spiritually, having two children, ages 10 and 8, I am quite a bit older than what the government recognizes. So you could be spiritually, you know, 35, 40 years old. No judgment, no matter where you fall. But I'd like to think of myself as a spiritual 55-year-old man.
Fair. Do you have thoughts on the fake punt?
I liked it at the time. Well, sort of. I liked it at the time. Like everybody else, I think it was an interesting choice because they saw, you know, Miami was in position to stop that thing from happening. They did not audible out of it. They did not call a timeout. They did not choose to try something else. What they saw from the line of scrimmage should have told them absolutely not. I didn't think they could get in a shootout with any team with the Miami Dolphins at the time. They were down 10. It did not look promising, and they weren't going to be able to keep up. Their offense just hasn't been that good. So I respected the fact that they were trying to sort of keep a possession, steal a possession away, and keep the ball moving as long as they could. So I like the idea of it, the ingenuity, you know, not recognizing that the play call just shouldn't have been executed was, you know, that was a mistake. And I think Matt LaFleur even said as much the day after that. Yeah, that was just a total whiff. But at the time, it was like, yeah, I respect them trying to do something different. They're not supposed to win this game, so they got to pull out some stops.
They have to play to win. Any update? Because I feel like the two players that have been very fun to watch is Christian Watson, who went out with a hip injury, and then Nixon, who had that incredible 94-yard punt return, only to get a field goal. Whatever.
Yeah.
But he was.
I said
he,
it the
he
second he went down
on the sideline too. Is when he was benched, and so I don't even know what did they say that he was hurt with.
Oh, I don't. I'm trying to remember now which one was which because Christian Watson definitely had a hip injury. I think it was a groin injury for Keyshawn Nixon.
Okay.
And so the updates. You're not gonna get good ones until Wednesday when they return to the practice field and you really get a sense of whether they're gonna practice in full or limited or not at all. It didn't seem like anybody was too worried, although I guess I'd be somewhat concerned about Nixon in particular. That, you know, those things can be tricky and they don't just heal. So I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna see with him, but that'd be such a huge loss. He's been such a revelation for them, not have him.
I feel like this falls in
Snoop Dogg?
Yes. I feel like this falls into your category of fun sports stories to write about, but I only learned this weekend over Christmas that he's Snoop Dogg's nephew.
So difficult to verify, which I have tried to do.
Okay.
I don't know 100% that that's like legitimately like Snoop Dogg's brother or sister, that Keyshawn Nixon is the son. I'm still working through some of that. But they have a close relationship, and he's played football for one of, I think, Snoop Dogg's academy teams. So he's definitely, they definitely know each other. They definitely have a relationship. I don't know exactly what the level is there, but
there
may not be a bloodline, but you know what? It's okay. If you know Snoop Dogg, that's awesome.
And I also feel like, in the Black community, there is often a lot of people are your cousin, even if they're not your cousin. And so there could be like familial, like we are like family, even if there's no bloodline. And so,
yes.
All right, so that fact is murky, but otherwise he was great fun to watch. And so Watson's been so much fun to watch too over this season. And so do you think there's any chance that we see Bakhtiari next weekend?
There's a chance. Yeah. I mean, he was, I think, doing some drill work last week. There was some thought he could get back for this game against the Dolphins that he ended up being doubtful, which is better than he'd been. He'd been listed as out for the previous couple games. So yes, there's a chance. Obviously, with an appendectomy, it's a little bit of a wild card. There's no like clear cut trainer's timetable for that sort of thing. But they would really need him. You know, I don't know what Yash Nyman's situation is, but he went out. Royce Newman has really struggled this year when he's been brought in as a replacement. And I mean, honestly, this wasn't his worst game or anything. He's been kind of on the sidelines for a while now as they found some better options. But they really, really need solid tackles here. So it would be nice. Yash Nyman has been so quietly valuable to this team as a starting tackle. And Zach Tom has held up in David Bakhtiari's stead. So like that's not the problem per se. It's just about having the five best offensive linemen out there. Mm-hmm. And they would getting him back is just so essential. I mean, the Vikings are frauds. They have a great record. All of their wins have been by one score pretty much. No one should realistically be afraid of the Minnesota Vikings, but they are a better team than the Packers. Like, you have to say at least that much. They're going to need all, you know, everything they can get to beat Minnesota.
All right. Well, then I do want to get to what has to happen for our playoff dreams to stay alive. But I can't not play this clip of Jair Alexander, because I love a person who's not camera shy. And so if you have not seen this yet of the post game interview on the field, let's play it.
Do that play, what happened, and how'd you grab it?
Oh man, that's easy. So I'm just lining up. I see number 10 motion over.
Oh, no!
Andy Jones. I see number 10 coming across the field. I said, oh snap, he fast. So I bagged off. When I bagged off, I seen him coming. He ran right in front of me. I was like, wow, is he really overthrowing it? Took it down the sideline, turned up with my guys, gave the football to a little kid wearing 23.
I love it. Merry Christmas to you. I already have more to say. That was fantastic.
If you celebrated Merry Christmas, go to a time with your family. We got a job, baby. Pack is back.
Just the most, so no one was more excited than him. And then did you see that he waddled off?
Yes, like Jalen Waddle, one of Miami's better players. Jalen Waddle, by the way, had a very good game, some of which coming against Jair Alexander. So be a little careful about who you're trolling there. But what a great personality. Very difficult. Journalism can be challenging when the quotes are usually involving various noises like that. Very difficult to try to spell those words. We got a herm and a hi. I'm not sure how we would spell that exactly, but. You just got to watch the clip. You just got to watch Jair and his facial expressions and his enthusiasm. He is one of a kind.
I feel like this is being a TikTok person. I feel like this is one of those ones that people who are really good at lip syncing, trying to lip sync along with this video would be, I don't have the time to try to practice and do it, but throwing it out there for someone else to, maybe this is a good project for you this week, Jair. Maybe you can do that for the Journal Sentinel TikTok.
I just don't know if people want to see this bald white man doing a Jair Alexander impersonation, but I could maybe outsource. Well, I'll find somebody who might be up for something
like
that.
We could find someone in the office who would be up for the challenge. And so, all right, go ahead. We got 1 minute.
That's good. That's great. Yeah, he's definitely one of a kind. He's a one of a kind personality.
Yeah, that was a great clip. All right. Well, when we come back, there's two things that I want to touch still on this game as far as Mason Crosby and the big record he broke. And then also talk about where we go from here, what needs to happen, what are our chances? So you're saying there's a chance? There is a chance. All right. J.R. Radcliffe will still be here when we come back to talk about the Packers. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
He rides on the sleigh shouting, go back, go, call Santa Claus, the guy that takes of Lambeau. One more time now, Santa Claus done got a taste of Lambo. He done backed up and moved away from the North Pole.
North Pole.
If you're looking for a present on Christmas Day, you better send your cards and letters to Green Bay. Cause Santa Claus done got a taste of Lambo.
Simple fact of plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is J.R. Radcliffe from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about all things Packers game, both what the game was on Christmas and where we need to go from here. But before we move on to the things that are in our control and not in our control to still make it to the playoffs, I just wanted to quickly play a clip from a record that I think would have been, most people would say was hard to break, but 256, is it consecutive games or games?
Yes, consecutive games.
256 consecutive games played by Mason Crosby. That is a feat. So here's a video that the Packers made for him.
A player like Mason Crosby isn't always easy. But for years, we've done our best to do it anyway. To the fans, he's a staple, a Packer, and often a hero. To the locker room, he's a calm, cool, collected leader, Mr. Clutch.
To the uprights, and it is right there!
Yes!
It is good!
To others, he's a loving husband, a father of five, and a loyal friend. 15 years ago, this All-American kicker out of Colorado was drafted to Green Bay and immediately placed in a training camp battle for a roster spot. Well, he won that spot and never gave it up. And here we are, 256 consecutive regular season games later. A record many thought may never get broken. Now belongs to number two.
Little tingly.
The feels.
Little goosebumpy. Where does he rank, do you think, as far as active kickers in the NFL?
So kickers are so unusual. They're just so difficult to evaluate.
Yeah.
You know, he's not an all-pro kicker. He's not a regular Pro Bowl kicker. But the longevity is pretty rare. I wouldn't say it's completely uncommon. I mean, you do have kickers who are kicking in the NFL deep into their 40s. There are guys like that, but the leg strength eventually, obviously, it goes away and they become less useful. And that's included on kickoffs, you know, where you can't boot the ball just into the end zone whenever you want. That's a problem for teams always battling for field position. And I mean, certainly there's been probably a little bit of depreciation, but kickers also are just really hard to, it's so hard to find a good one. There are so many franchises, Minnesota included, that have gone through just a rotating wheel of kickers, even though all the, I mean, guys that they've drafted, guys that they've signed who've had, you know, great success elsewhere, like for whatever reason, it just didn't click there. And what makes Mason Crosby special is the ability to kick in a place like Green Bay, where the weather is just never guaranteed. You know, obviously there are, every kicker is going to see adverse weather conditions at some point, but his ability to do what he does and to have had a lot of big moments in Decembers and, you know, times of the year where things are pretty adverse, that's pretty special. I mean, he's from the University of Colorado. Like, I'm sure he saw his share of crazy weather there as well, but he's a little difficult to evaluate. Like, would I say, is he a Hall of Famer? No, of course not. Is he a Packer Hall of Famer? 100%. You know, like you can't be there 15 years as reliable as he has been with really very few hiccups. You know, this is a position where if you have a bad year, there's a good chance you're gone no matter how successful you've been. And he had a bad year in 2018. He had that unforgettable game in Detroit where he missed four field goals and an extra point. It was not a good season. I think a lot of people thought that was it. You know, Mason Crosby was done and they decided, nope, we're going to go with the, you know, we're going to dance with the guy who brought us and we're going to stay the course. And he's been pretty steady ever since. So, you know, smart on them to not cut the cord at any point. And he's obviously got a pretty big place in Packers history at this point.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you published an article yesterday outlining everything that has to happen for us to stay alive. But in the last couple minutes we have, how do you summarize what needs to happen?
Well, unfortunately, it's pretty easy, which is not as great for the content. But, you know, the Packers, they win their last two games. All it takes at that point is a Washington loss. And boom, they're in the playoffs. Now, it could be a Washington loss or New York losing both of their final games. One or the other has to happen. And if the Packers win their final two games, they're in the playoffs. Now, there is a scenario where the Packers lose in Minnesota and still make the playoffs. It requires like seven other things to go right. I certainly wouldn't plan on it. That includes Detroit losing to the Bears next week. In fact, by kickoff of next week, Packers have a 3:25 kickoff against Minnesota. By then, they may know whether or not they must win in Minnesota. All it's going to take is Washington or Detroit winning their game, and that Minnesota game will instantly become a must win. Everyone can tell you it's a must win anyway. The 8-9 scenario is pretty light, but there is no scenario where they lose to the Lions and make the playoffs. So that is already a must win that last game of the season. Minnesota pretty much is as well. But if they win those games, all it takes is Washington losing. And heck, let's say the Giants lose both their games and Washington loses once more. Packers could be the sixth seed. There could be yet one more team behind them getting into the playoffs. So they're very fortunate to be here. I would not call it a better than 50% chance yet. Probably more like the 30 to 40% chance at this point, but it is a lot better situation than it was a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Statistically, I read, maybe it was in your article, that's like up to 36%, but each game that we've won, cause I think my husband right before the Rams game made a bet that, so if the Packers win the Super Bowl, he wins $15,000.
Oh my goodness.
But then the odds.
This has been a very good couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly. But then the odds went further down once we won that game. So I don't know how much you can win right now. But there's a chance. Have weirder things happened as far as having this kind of
absolutely
record, making it into the playoffs and potentially even winning some games, maybe a Super Bowl?
In 2013, I come back to the 2013 season, which I know people probably don't remember it off the top of their heads, but that is the season that ends with the Bears game where Rodgers comes back from his injury and they hits Randall Cobb, last play of the game, like 13 seconds left at Soldier Field to beat the Bears, win the division. The games leading up to that game, there's there is almost, I can't even imagine in real life, it was 1% chance that Matt Flynn would lead them to the wins they needed and the comebacks that they needed to get into that position in the first place, let alone then beat the Bears. They didn't win their playoff game, but it was still just a wild situation for them to even get to the playoffs. That's where we're at right now. They need kind of some magic, and they've got, like, you know, they're 3/5 of the way there to winning their last five games. So, like, Aaron Rodgers is not, you know, he's had a rough year, but, like, he's still a dude, you know, as complicated and as crazy and as weird as he is and the season has been, he is still a dude. And when the chips are down, I feel like there's a little bit of magic there still.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed. All right, J.R. Radcliffe is the trending sports reporter for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can find him on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe. Thank you for joining us today. Very fun, as always. Go Pack, go.
So why don't you save us all some time and